And welcome back in, hour number two. And boy, we covered a lot of ground this morning, talking about some tips for your care for boats and motors, and also fishing tips during this Arctic blast that's impending. Also talking about collisions with wildlife on the highways. I estimate about 2 million deer are hit each year on the roadway. Could you imagine if we didn't take out that 6 to 6.5 million bow hunters? How bad the situation would be if they just continued to overpopulate and all over the roads? You wouldn't be able to afford the insurance. Maybe not. All right, we're also talking about the limit on red snapper that we're going to be dealing with next year, because we went over the limit slightly, not a whole lot, but we will have to pay that back. And a question comes in on our text line. Is Wildlife and Fisheries adding in the sharks that eat snapper before we can land them? Or once you get them up, you got nothing but a head? No, I don't think those are being counted, because I don't think the fishermen are turning that in as a catch number, including it in their bag when the shark is the one that gets it. So I don't think they're including, and I hope they don't. Here's one from my friend David Hubble over in Mobile. Weather looks perfect opportunity to work on the presentation for John Foe's Boucherie on February 7th. That's going to be at White Oak Estate and Gardens in Baton Rouge. Looking through the pictures the past 10 years, it's building up his anticipation and excitement, especially for the long table at the end holding all of the spoils of the boucherie. I'm pretty sure no one in South Louisiana will be eating anything better that day. 2 weeks and counting. Yeah, I'm planning on being there. We're going to actually have our Bayou Wild TV camera out there. And if you don't get to visit it, you can watch it on an upcoming program. And maybe I'll see you out there. Again, that's Saturday, February 7th. Look it up. It's Boucherie, B-O-U-C-H-E-R-I-E. And there ain't many of them that happen. All right, here's one that says, driving to the airport one morning, I hit a 10-plus foot alligator on Highway 90. I was lucky not to have any damage to my truck. On my flight, I sat next to two tourists from Chicago who were asking how many gators I typically see. Telling them about that morning drive, they were amazed. Yeah, I see them all the time. A lot of alligators are hit. Fortunately, they kind of got the low shoulders, so they stay underneath the body of the truck, and a lot of times you don't get much damage. Unless you're driving one of those little tiny, what do they call those little boxcar-looking things? I wouldn't want to hit a big gator in one of those. All right, here's one says, good morning, Mr. Don. Enjoying the show in the box stand in St. Francisville. We're looking for that last buck. Been very successful this year. My 10-year-old daughter, Carly, got her first buck, an 8-point. Very proud dad here. Love the show. That's from Slim Dunbar. Well, Carly Dunbar, congratulations to you. 10 years old and got yourself an 8-point. Great, great, great. All right, if you got a tip or a collision with a deer story or any other animal, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 504-260-1870. If we missed anything on caring for your outboard motors, your boats, your batteries during Arctic blast, we'd love to hear from you. A lot of times people in the South, we don't get to deal with that. We don't have to deal with it as much as they do in the North, where they are used to it. They get better prepared for it. So when it happens here, it can be very problematic. So you need to prepare for it. And also, you need to keep an eye out for those deer crossing interstates and highways. And when the ruts are on in the wintertime, the deer are much more apt to be in the roads where they do not belong. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk to Mike Gallo. He's trying to eliminate the odds of you hitting a deer. He's been trying to do it for a couple of weeks. I think he may be back up in Mississippi with a shotgun or a rifle in his hand. A rifle, I think he shoots a 7mm instead of a fishing pole. We'll talk to Mike next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bay report with Captain Mike Gallo is sponsored by CETO, and they may be getting busy this weekend. You certainly do not want to be stranded if you happen to be out on the water. Maybe you're duck hunting. Maybe you found a deep water area that was figured out of the wind, but you had a breakdown. Maybe you need a jump start, might have run out of fuel. Whatever your problem is, CETO is there. But please don't give them any more work than necessary this coming week, because they're going to be busy people. And if you don't have a CETO policy, I strongly suggest you get one. It's easy to do. Call Captain Chris. You can reach him at 504-301-4545, or you can even do it online. That's simple. You could do it right now from your deer stand or your duck blind. CETO.com is where you'll find him. That's CETO.com. Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And Mike, are you on the bayou, or are you getting ready to walk to that deer stand?
I'm on the couch, Don. I'm not doing either.
That might be the best place to be this coming week with all this stuff coming up. Any advice you can share with our audience? We've been trying to give some tips for care for your boats and motors. Now, you lift your boats out of the water there at the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. What precautions that you take to make sure you don't have any freeze problems?
Well, Don, I get a gallon of antifreeze, and I pour it in my bilge, and then I run the bilge pump until I see the pink antifreeze come out, and I know all my hoses and fittings, as well as that little bit down in the bottom of the hull, has antifreeze in it, and it won't freeze.
I like that. Now, is there a special marine antifreeze, or do you just use regular antifreeze you would put in your vehicle?
I use an RV antifreeze that is supposed to be safe for plastic pipes.
Gotcha.
That's about the only precaution I take. At the lodge, we'll shut the water off and drain all the pipes, which is a fairly easy, straightforward to do, not very difficult.
Yeah,
and other
yeah.
than that, I'm going to follow Darrell Carpenter's advice and stay on the couch.
Yeah, well, we got two professional guys going to be on the couch this week, and a lot of people are going to be joining you. Some folks, they want to get out in it, and other people just take the wiser move and don't even get involved in trying to get out there. I mean, the fishing is going to, you know, unless you're fishing from the bank where you can go in and out of your truck and warm up like what happens down. I think you went with me one time down there to Shell Beach, and we fished that bayou, didn't we?
We did go down to Shell Beach and fish one of those Jubilees. I'm always fishing from a boat, so fishing from land was a little different for me, but I remember we caught quite a few.
I remember you couldn't keep your feet still. You kept kind of rocking back and forth while we were on the dock because you're so used to doing that in the boat.
that's that Mike, built-in gyro I have. From
there
the
you go. Mike, give us some post-freeze fishing tips. What do you do during a post-freeze? That water's still real cold, so I would think the number one thing is fish deep water.
Yeah, the fish are going to certainly be close to deep water, and you can start deep and work your way shallow or vice versa, but they'll definitely be in deep water. And all fish love ledges. So you find a ledge, position yourself where you can cast to it and work down it or up on the ledge, cast out, work up it, and also position yourself where you can fish parallel to the ledge. And it's like anything else, if you catch a few and the bite plays out, then you can go down current or up current 50 yards, find a similar situation in the ledge, and try again.
We're talking with Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. He's on the couch, but he'll be back after fishing after this freeze gets through here. Mike, live bait is certainly going to be out when we get cold temperatures like this. It's very difficult to catch them in, to keep them live. Certainly you can fish with dead bait on the bottom. But give me your favorite cold water artificial for fishing deep cold water. What do you like to throw as far as plastics?
Well, I like to downsize. I usually go down to 10 or 12 pound test fluorocarbon, and I'll use a 3/8 ounce jig head, or I'll use an inline drop shot. And I really take a matrix shad and I'll cut off about 3/4 inch off the nose and just kind of downsize it a little bit. And that's kind of my go-to. Or I'll use the Berkeley Gulp, which are a little bit shorter than the matrix shad right out of the box. But those are my go-to from there, and I'll pay close attention to hopefully I catch some fish. And if I catch a fish and he happens to spit up a minnow or something that he's eaten, then obviously I'll try to match the hatch as best as I can.
What about presentation? When we say fish it dead slow, do you leave it on the bottom? Do you just kick it, tick it, and drag it? Do you pop it up a little bit? Or do you just keep trying different techniques till you find the way they want it?
Yeah, the answer is all of the above. You definitely want to be on the bottom, and you want to work slow. And, you know, when I say slow, slow might mean one thing to me, and it might mean something different to you. So we always say if you start out slow, and if that doesn't work, go slower. And just because you're not moving the bait doesn't mean that the current going past it doesn't make the tail move. So often what we think is sitting still is still moving for the fish. A bass fisherman would call that dead sticking, but it's still moving, and you can catch a lot of fish with your bait sitting completely still.
Yep, and you know, there's a lot of opportunity to catch those bass. You mentioned bass. They are not susceptible to cold water like the trout and redfish are. They're much hardier fish, and we certainly have an abundance of them in our brackish marshes, so you might kind of turn your attention to the bass this time of year.
Yeah, the bass have saved many trips. If you're specifically trout fishing and you don't do anything for your first 45 minutes or so, you may switch over to bass fishing and let the water warm up with the sun. And then when you're done bass fishing, you can go back to trout fishing, and they may be a little more aggressive with the warmer water. It doesn't take much to make the water warmer. 1 or 2 degrees can make a big difference in how aggressive a trout is.
Well, there's a lot to see on his website, aaofla.com, or you can get a link to it by going to my website if you're more familiar with that. Mike, since you're on the couch, I guess you got the phone handy. People are welcome to call you. Give them that number.
Sure. You can reach me at 985-781-7811.
All right. Stay warm, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
And there he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures. We'll come back after this. It's time for the Paddler's Report. Boy, you do not want to turn over the kayak in this kind of weather that's coming. In fact, you may not even want to be in it. We'll talk to Eric Mahabarak, get the lowdown on what's happening in the kayak world. It's in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and also the sponsor, No Wake Outdoors. We're back right after this. Oh, yeah, we'll be stroking. That is our theme song for the Paddler's Report, sponsored by No Wake Outfitters. You will find them at 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. Got the latest outdoor gear that's used for fishing in the local area. Also have paddle sports equipment, kayaks for you paddlers. Also fly tying, fly fishing classes offered from time to time. And an extensive fly shop. They are a specialist if you like to do some fly fishing. And also, they make you look good while you're doing it. Got some great sharp-looking apparel. Check it out. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. And joining us is one of our field reporters, Eric Mahabarak. And, Eric, I guess you heard the news about our buddy Chris Weaver bagging a nice deer, huh?
Yeah, man, I sure would like to congratulate him on that. I know he can't hit him with a gun, but, you know, he got that 150 on him hard, you know. But, you know, the sad part is them people come stall that deer. I could have been eating some of that sausage you'd have made. It just felt real good.
Yeah, it went so fast. I mean, we were no more than 10 minutes behind him, and somebody must have saw the accident and pulled over and threw it in the back of the truck and kept on going. Whoever did that, if you're listening, text me and tell me you got a deer. It was just before you got on the Atchafalaya Spillway Bridge on I-10. And if you were there on, I want to say it was Thursday, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. Text me, 504-260-1870, and I hope you're enjoying that venison. He said he hadn't got a deer, in a while, or maybe it was his first deer. I don't know, but he used a great weapon to get it.
I know. And there ain't no problem. At least he kept rolling on down the road, made that woodcock hunt. That was nice, too. But that sausage would be good, Don.
I know. And I tell you what, it would be tenderized, too, man, the way he hit that deer going really fast. I'll tell you, he's lucky he didn't get in an accident or have that airbag in his face driving at 70 miles an hour on I-10. That's really dangerous, you know?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Definitely, Don.
Well, you don't run into that problem with a kayak, huh? You don't run into too many deer paddling a kayak, do you?
No, but I have seen them crossing the bayou before, and actually I've seen some nice deer crossing the bayou, you know? The hogs, too. Yeah, definitely, you know. I'm sure if you put a little corner at them, hogs would be on it. You'd be able to hunt out of them.
Well, Eric, Southeast Louisiana Kayak Club had their tournament at the Point of Shen, and I got a great report came in. I'm going to share a little while from a fisherman that was down there this week. How did it go?
The Murphys took first and second place. You know, Chris Murphy took first, and then his wife Jamie took second place, and then Brett Hotard took third place, and Santiago took fourth place, and Murphy, and Chris Murphy took the leopard red spot too. Yeah, but it was evidently a good tournament, a little tough fishing, they said, during the day. But everybody had a great time, and they ate some food and stuff like that, and it went on and so forth and so on. And it sounded good, you know.
Let me tell you a little story about that leopard red for people that don't know what that is. They give a prize for the redfish that has the most dots. You know, redfish got the dots on the tail, and sometimes it's two, one on each side, but other times they just dotted with them all over. They started calling that a tiger red maybe 20, yeah. 25 years ago. And I told them, y'all better check the zoo. A tiger has stripes. Spots right. are on leopard, so they started calling it the leopard red instead of the tiger red, and I'm going to take credit for that name. But anyway, let's move on to Hopedale. What's been going on over there?
Well, we've been having some reports coming out that what if they said the water was a little low and dirty, but they've been catching a few sheephead and some redfish, you know, but after this front, you know, it's going to get turned on in them little deep water canals and stuff, you know, and go check that out over there. I recommend that also.
One of your favorite spots, Myrtle Grove. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I think we're going to kill the fish there really bad when this front hits. But they've been catching some reds there and like a little handful of trout and stuff like that. But it should be on fire with the trout once, you know, this front comes in. You know, I'm personally not going to go sit in a kayak. If I go, I'll take the sun and go off the bank. You know, it's just too cold to be out there for me.
Daryl Carpenter mentioned fishing along Highway, not 23, but Highway 1. I imagine that's good. But also down at 23 has been good. What do you think about Highway 1? That's a nice, easy spot to slip in and you stay close to the truck.
Yeah. As long as you got the deep water, you know, like the telephone pole hole, that'd be good right there. You could go hit the telephone pole hole and slip in right there and do it. But, man, make sure you know, with these kayaks, I don't care how good you are, make sure you got some clothes. With you in the boat, in the truck, bring two pairs, because if something happens, you ain't got much time.
You're right.
With this water. You know, I mean, hypothermia is going to set in. I don't know how fast it can set in, but that's how fast it's going to set in. You know,
right, yeah, Eric. Joe Brown Park. Now, I'm going to give out some rainbow trout stocking locations, but Joe Brown was not on my list. They kept that a secret. I didn't know they had stocked Joe Brown Park in New Orleans with the rainbow trout. What's going on over there with them?
Yeah. Well, I know they've been hitting it kind of hard, and a few people have caught some. I only have heard of one limit being caught. A girl, Robin, supposed to be going over there. She said she was going to try and hit it up. I'm sure I'll get a report from her, and I'll let you know. I'll text you or something. Let's see how she does. But, they stock the ponds every year, you know. They said they've been catching them on corn and worms, and somebody caught a couple on a spinner. But, you know, that's what I'd use. I'd get the gulp, too, you know, the gulp trout bait or whatever. You've got to remember, these fish are used to eating, like, dog food. So anything that looks like dog, I wonder if dog food would work even. You know,
I think you can chum them up with dog food, you know, and then fish over the hole. And you can do the same thing with a can of corn. You know, dump the corn in there and then fish with it because they're used to eating that, too. You know, the spinners, when people hear spinner, it's not a spinner bait like you fish for bass.
Right.
It's an inline little feathered spinner, kind of almost a cross between a spinner and a fly, I think is what really is effective if you want to use artificial. But they're fun to catch, and I'm sure they kept that a secret. I didn't get any information on Joe Brown, but some kind of way the word must have got out, and hopefully Robin can catch some and send us some pictures and a report on that.
You know what, too, Don? I'm sure that Justin over at No Wake Outfitters could help him with maybe a fly that they could put
Absolutely.
On a game pole or on a fly rod and flip out there and check that out. I'm sure he's got something that'll mimic a piece of food or something like that that they used to eat.
You know who catches them on the fly rod is Sarah Giles. She's really good at it. We filmed a show with her in Baton Rouge at one of the stock parks, and she was wearing them out. She does good with that fly rod.
Yeah, she does. That's for sure. Definitely.
Well, Eric, anything else before we go?
Well, if you're brave enough to go out there, bring some clothes because you're going to need it. And if not, just sit on the sofa and drink hot chocolate, look out the window. Hopefully we don't get no snow, and protect your pipes and stuff like that. Flip your kayak over. If it's outside, get all the water out of it. You don't want it cracking. But other than that, man, y'all have a great day, you know?
All right. And I got a name just text in for that bat, and you may have fished with this. A Meps rooster tail. Remember that?
Yes,
that's a good one for the rainbow. That's a good one. Thanks for that listener that sent me that. Appreciate it. All right, yeah. Thanks for your report, Eric. We really appreciate it, my friend. Let's see if Weaver can top his deer, maybe, huh?
Yeah,
He wants to. I think he needs to bring a rifle instead of a truck.
That's right, a crossbow, something, anything.
All right, Eric, have a good one.
All right, have a good one.
We're kind of picking on Chris, and I know he's it'd be interesting to find out how much damage that was on his truck. It didn't seem to be extensive, but boy, that stuff can add up. All right, we come back after this. You know what time it is. It's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time, and I'm also going to give you some locations to go try those rainbow trout. Doesn't matter what the weather is, these areas are very close in and fishable. We'll be back to tell you about it right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some more text coming in. This one says, this is from my friend the Big E, listening down in Thibodaux. Had a good day off the bank at Point of Shen Monday this week. Caught a limit of reds. They were cruising the coast using dead shrimp under Four Horsemen popping cork with a drop shot. All were over 20 inches. Had to release some. I left them biting. Boy, it's about as good as it gets, Big E. And we have this one wanting to know, is Venice in the west zone for duck season? Yes, it is. And it's because of this convoluted map we have breaking down the east and west zones. Venice is the easternmost point of Louisiana, except for Chandelier Islands. And it is in the west zone. So it does end tomorrow in Venice. All right, got a message from the Weave who bagged that deer with his truck. He said no dollar amount yet on the damage. He's going to keep us advised. All right. Also, the Rainbow Trout courses, they're going to be today. They're stocking them at Oil and Gas Park in Jennings from 9 to 11. That's actually the course. They've got beginner courses, but you had to sign up for that. I don't know if you did or not, if they have room for extras. But the stockings are there for the general public. They're also going to be at Southside Regional Park, that's in Lafayette, and then at Bayou Country Sports Complex in Houma. And next week, they'll be doing the stockings at Grambling Park and Elmore Mayfield Park. Grambling's in Grambling, Louisiana. Elmore Mayfield Park is in Ruston. So, and Joe Brown, as Eric alluded to, they've also got it there. Zamurri Park in Hammond, Pogachita State Park up in Washington Parish, south of Franklinton. All of those areas are the non-native rainbow trout have been put in there. Get you some corn, maybe some little worms. Light tackle. Got to use light tackle for them. They're small fish, but they're good fighters. And also those spinner baits, those MEP spinners, or you can also catch them on the fly. But you got to get them out of there before the weather warms up, and that's going to be a while because they don't survive. That's why they do it this time of year. All right, right after this pause, it's Bad Boy time. Had a recreational fisherman, thought he was a seafood retailer, put it online, got nailed. We'll tell you his story right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on December 21st, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Corporal Austin Anderson and Corporal Cody Salpietra obtained a social media post from Christopher Harris advertising the sale of cleaned and bagged red drum and speckled trout. How convenient. Only problem was when they made contact with Harris on January 9th at his home, they learned he was selling the fish he caught with his recreational license and not with the required commercial and seafood retailer licenses. To make things worse, Harris already had an active arrest warrant out of Lafourche Parish. So the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office arrived on the scene, arrested Harris, and booked him into Lafourche Parish Criminal Justice Complex, which is a fancy term for the jail. For selling fish caught recreationally, looking at a maximum fine of up to $950 and 120 days in jail, is alleged illegal fish salesman from Thibodaux, Louisiana, 30-year-old Christopher Harris, this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors. Yeah, not a good idea to sell recreationally caught fish, and even a worse idea. Just put it on Facebook. Hey, come get your bag, clean fish. Oh, boy. We've got a lot of geniuses out there fishing. Huh? All right, we come back after this. We'll talk to Captain Ryan Lambert on this last weekend. They're wrapping up the duck season. It comes and goes so fast. We'll get his take on how this season went and maybe some post-Arctic blast fishing tips coming your way right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures, where they will be closing out the duck season. West Zone wraps up tomorrow. And, Ryan, are y'all able to hunt out there, or do you have no water? What's the situation?
No, we've got water. It's a neap tide right now. So there's water, and we have a south wind. So I have 6 blinds out this morning, and tomorrow, hopefully we'll get in before that weather, because, boys, it's going to break loose.
Yes, it is.
When it does, you know, when it blows like that, you know, you're going to have ducks like crazy. There's just 10,000 ducks sitting out there on the outside. The last 2 days, it was dead calm and 80. Then yesterday, I couldn't see 50 yards. I could see just past my decoys all day.
Did the birds fly at all in that fog or no?
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, right, unless they hit the water and splash.
You know, when they come right over the decoy fly, you get a quick shot, and we got a few of them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I couldn't see, you know, from my north line to Patricio, I couldn't see Patricio all day. And there's only, what, 60, 70 yards between those two blinds.
You know. So how would you rank this year compared to other years?
Strange, extremely strange. You know, as far as ducks, we killed a lot of ducks, made a lot of happy people, and the fishing was off the chain the whole time.
Yeah.
So we were very successful as a unit. But we probably killed less ducks because we didn't kill limits like we normally do. You know, you get 10, 12, 15 ducks in a blind. Yesterday, I think 15 was my high, and 5 was the low yesterday evening because we hunted in the evening yesterday, everybody but me, because my guys had to leave. But, you know, it was good. We did. The gadwalls were really down because of no aquatic vegetation. You know, down there in Venice, there's a couple of places that there's grass and it's just covered in gadwalls. And, you know, it's that simple that if you have a couple of ponds with grass that are landlocked, boom, there they are. You know, you got to have vegetation. You got to have food.
Yep. Well, you know, I got this question. What am I putting on the stovetop to prepare for the cold weather Monday? I'm not real sure. I got a lot of choices, but I'll come up with something for sure. What about you guys down there? I guess it's going to be gumbo weather for you guys.
Huh? Well, it's always gumbo weather, but I'm going to make red bean soup. I'm going home today, and I'm going to make a big red bean soup, and I'm making it with a lot of meat and some those eggshell noodles, and I put that in there, and I stole that from old Mouse from his old restaurant. It's super good in the wintertime, and it's nice and warm. And I'll be doing that this evening sometime. I'm going to go home up. The sciatic nerve's about to run me crazy.
Yeah, you got to take care of that, and especially bad.
I'm going to get an MRI Tuesday before I go back to Mexico next week. So,
man, you got to get a lot of frequent flyer miles, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I showed up in Mexico this week. They said, why'd you come if you can't walk? I said, I'm going to walk. I got it out, and I did. But one day I didn't finish the quail hunt because I was hurting so bad. Thank God, because they hit a honey beehive. It was wearing them out, and I was sitting there laughing, so it was good.
Yeah, it's not funny unless you're in it, unless you're in the attack. Then it's not funny at all.
Yeah, they was swatting them bees. And it was funny. And then
Ryan, you know, like Darryl, you rarely get freezes down that far along the coast or that far south, and you keep your boats in sheds. Any particular precautions you take to keep problems when you get these hard freezes like this?
Yeah, you trim your motor all the way down to where it's right, tucked in, and the water comes out of your lower unit. You don't want that water sitting in the foot of your motor, because if it freezes, it could expand and crack that thing, so you want to trim those motors all the way down and get that water out of there. And other than that, yeah, not much. You know, just get rid of the water and you shouldn't have any more trouble.
Yeah, keep your batteries charged, too. That was another good tip that came in.
It will kill a battery. If you got a bad battery, you go find out this week.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, when you get back from Mexico, hopefully we'll get some good winter fishing. You know, we're getting ready to enter February, which is one of the toughest months. But you guys catch fish 12 months a year down there. So tell them how to get you and get some info on your bookings.
Yeah. the fish is off the charts. I mean, and it's going to keep going in February. The river's down. The water's absolutely beautiful. We fly fished in the fog yesterday, and they landed five, which is pretty good for, you know, fly fishing. But they can just call me at CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me at 504-559-5111. And now it's fishing season.
All right. Stock up on that ibuprofen and stay warm, my friend.
Oh, my God. I'm wearing it out. Right.
Talk to you next week. There you go. It's right, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right. We got John Terrebonne with the Convent Hunting Club. That's the rabbit guys. Boy, they got what they want, some cold weather, good weather to be some rabbit hunting. He says they stocked the big pond at Lamar Dixon with rainbow trout, but they never seem to announce it. They're easy to catch if you know what you're doing. He throws those inline spinners on light line. Hold on, enjoy the fight. They are very acrobatic. And that was old man Sam gave us the rooster tail advice with the MEP spinner. Universal bait. Only thing he's hunting is another log to throw on the fire. All right, that's our text. When we come back, we're going to check in with Mike Smith. He's over in the Hopedale area. We'll find out what's going on. Delacroix, Hopedale is where his leases are. We'll find out what the duck situation is there on this final weekend of the West Zone. And you're listening to it live on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, and to close out the show this morning, we take you down where they'll be closing out the duck zone in the duck season in the West Zone. We take you to Delacroix, where Captain Mike Smith is down there, Marsh Guide Service. And, Mike, yesterday was foggy, but I'm looking. I stepped outside here to St. Hubert's Cathedral. It just looks kind of overcast, and I don't have any wind here, but showing you got about a 13-knot wind down there. How's it looking for this morning's hunt?
I can't wait for the season to close. That's how bad it is.
We couldn't wait for it to open, and now you can't wait for it to close. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I'll tell you what, November is so much better. I wish the season was November 1st to January 1st, and that's all right. I mean, I haven't seen a bird yet.
That's incredible. And all that feed that was down there, the submerged vegetation was looking good. I just don't understand it, you know.
No, I mean, zero. My brother showed me pictures of ducks still up north walking on the ice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When they
got a chance of,
dining on corn.
Right? And it's iced up there. I just don't. The cold weather doesn't mean a darn thing anymore. It doesn't push them down. And as far as teal, I just, you know, it blew them out. They might be in certain areas, but they sure not here this morning.
Yeah, I think this last blast has maybe got them headed further south. But boy, they sure hung in there for a long time, and thank God for them. You know.
Yep. You just don't need cold weather to push down teal, spoonbill, pintail, stuff like that. You know, November. I mean, was fantastic. 180-degree weather, knocking the heck out of birds.
Yeah. Well, if there was ever any evidence that climate change is the reason why there's no ducks in South Louisiana, this is going to prove it wrong. Because, I mean, it's just going to be in the teens this week.
Yeah.
It's frozen everywhere north of us with ice storms and snow and still no birds. Still no birds.
No birds. Okay.
Well, they'll find another excuse. They're going to say it's complete habitat loss, but if they would have got pictures of what your ponds look like, that wouldn't have been holding up either.
Exactly. I was going to hunt divers today, but the wind was too strong to hunt that open bay, and I wasn't going to retrieve ducks and whitecaps.
Yeah, well, there's some doe grease came down. You know, they don't get affected as much by the short stock because the habitats are different. And we see them. They still come down here. Not in the numbers, but that's because their population's been down over the last several years. Boy, you remember the good old days when, doe grease were a dime a dozen.
Exactly. But if the weather holds up tomorrow morning, if the rain, comes later on, I might do the diver hunt if the wind's not that strong. You know, you can't go out in the pirogue and
no
in 3-foot waves.
No, not when and it's gonna get a whole lot colder. Well, how would you rate it overall? You did have some good hunts, during the early part of the season.
Yeah, the first split was about a 9.9. The second split was about a 4.1.
Yeah.
January hunting,
Let it open in late October, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, it's still fun to get out there. And look, they found 385,000 Mexican whistles still here in January, so maybe we get to look forward to that. Duck hunting's going to be teal and Mexican whistlers. Maybe it'll come down to that. And, of course, there's always the fun of just being out there in the marsh and watching birds and alligators and wildlife and stuff like that.
Exactly. As far as the whistling ducks, they leave. They left the marsh, but you know where they are?
Parks and golf courses.
In Lafreniere Park.
Yeah, and they're in the canals in West Metairie and all those drainage canals. They know they're not that stupid. You know, they kind of know where they're safe. Well, Mike, exactly. We enjoyed having your reports on all season. We really appreciate that. And hopefully things will turn around. You'll get the bag a few today. Those birds will start moving.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I've been on a lot of second split hunts like that. Don't shoot. Don't shoot. God, dog it. Hit him. You see that?
They snuck in on you, huh?
They snuck. A whole flock of teal just snuck in on us.
Any hits, or do they all leave?
No. By the time everyone saw it, it was too late.
We'll get back and concentrate.
I never fail.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun. Thank you, Mike.
That's it. All right. Thank you, Darren. I'll see you.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Longtime friend and professional duck hunting guide, Mike Smith. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Boy, we covered a lot of ground. Y'all batten down the hatches for this Arctic blast that's fixing to move in across our area. Stay safe. Stay warm. And don't forget when you have the opportunity to get out and do the things you enjoy the most in the outdoors with the ones you love. That's what we do here. We'll be back again next week, 5 to 7 a.m. And next week, we're going to have a very special announcement for you. So be sure you get tuned in. 5 to 7 a.m., that's when we do it. It's called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.